Devakyam yachito apyagat.
Devakyam yachito apyagat.
Ajastvamasya kshemaya.
Ajastvamasya kshemaya.
Vadhaya cha suradvisham.
Vadhaya cha suradvisham.
Apare vasudevasya. Devakyam yachito apyagat. Yajastvamasya kshemaya cha suradvisham. Apare vasudevasya. Devakyam yachito bhyagat. Ajastvam asya kshemaya. Vadhaya cha suradvisham.
Devakyam
yachito bhyagat. Ajastvam asya kshemaya. Vadhaya cha suradvisham. Apare vasudevasya. Devakyam yachito bhyagat. Ajastvam asya kshemaya. Vadhaya cha suradvisham. Apare. Others. Vasudevasya. Avasudeva. Devakyam. Of Devaki. Yachitaha.
Being prayed for.
Abhyagat, took birth. Ajaha, unborn. Tvam, you are. Asya, of him. Kshemaya,
for the good.
Vadhaya, for the purpose of killing. Cha,
and.
Suradvisham, of those who are envious of the demigods. Translation, others say that since both Vasudeva and Devaki prayed for you, you have taken your birth as their son. Undoubtedly you are unborn, yet you take your birth for their welfare and to kill those who are envious of the demigods. Please repeat.
Others say
that since both Vasudeva and Devaki prayed for you, you have taken your birth as their son.
Undoubtedly you are unborn.
Yet you take birth for their welfare.
And to kill those who are envious of the demigods.
Purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. It is also said that Vasudeva and Devaki in their previous birth as Sutapa and Prishni underwent a severe type of penance to get the Lord as their son, and as a result of such austerities, the Lord appeared as their son. It is already declared in the Bhagavad Gita that the Lord appears for the welfare of all people of the world and to vanquish the asuras, or the materialistic atheists.
Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavanscha Shri Rupang Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tang Sajivam Sadvaitam Sabadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakanvitamscha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Dinamine Shri Varshabhanavi Devi Daitaya Kripabdhaye
Krishna Sambandha Vijnana Daine Prabhave Namaha Madhuryochvala Primadhyaya Shri Rupanuga Bhaktira Shri Gaura Karuna Shakti Vigrahaya Namostute Namaste Gauravani Shri Murtaye Dinatarine Rupanuga Virudhapa Siddhanta Dvanta Harine Namo Gaura Kishoraya Sakshad Vairagya Murtaye Vipralambhara Sambhode Padambujayate Namaha Namo Bhakti Vinodaya Sachidananda Namine Gaura Shakti Swarupaya Rupanuga Varayate Gauravir Bhava Bhumestvang Nirdeshta Sajjana Priyaha Vaishnava Sarva Bhaumak Shri Jagannathayate Namaha Bancha Kalpataru Vyascha Kripa Sindhu Vyayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Namo Mahabharanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gauratvishe Namaha Pancha Tattvatmakam Krishnam Bhaktarupa Swarupakam Bhaktavataram Bhaktakyam Namami Bhakta Shaktikam He Krishna Kurana Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Jayatang Surato Pangor Mamanda Matergiti Kuntravasva Padam Bhojao Radha Madana Mohano Divyad Brindaranya Kalpa Drumadhak Srimad Ratnagara Singhasanastau Srimad Radha Srila Govinda Devo Prashtali Bhiksevyamano Smarami Sriman Rasara Sarambhi Vangshivata Tatakstitaha Karshan Venus Vinayar Gopir Gopinatak Shriestunaha Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vrindaye Tulasi Devyaye Priyaye Keshavashcha Krishna Bhakti Pradidevi Satyabhatya Namo Namaha Jaya Nishinga, Jaya Nishinga, Jaya Jaya Nishinga, Prahladesha Jaya Padma Mukha Padma Bringa, Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda, Shri Advaita Gadadhar, Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama Hare Hare, Apare Vasudevasya Devakyang Yachito Pyagat Ajastvamasya Kshemaya Vadhaya Cha Suradvisham. Others say that since both Vasudeva and Devaki prayed for you, you have taken your birth as their son. Undoubtedly you are unborn, yet you take your birth for their welfare and to kill those who are envious of the demigods. We're continuing Queen Kunti's prayers, and she's been talking about how it's bewildering that the Lord, although he's unborn, he takes his birth. And although he's inactive and unchanging, yet he performs many wonderful activities. And then she's talking about, well, why has he taken birth? And in the last verse, she said, maybe it's for the glorification. Some say that it's for the glorification of pious kings, like Yudhishthira Maharaj. Yudhishthira was her son. And although she didn't mention him by name when she referred to the glorification of pious kings, she's referring to the Battle of Kurukshetra, in which Yudhishthira Maharaj became established as the monarch or the emperor of the world. And others say that he's born to please King Yadu because he appeared in the Yadu dynasty. She said that he appears in his family as sandalwood appears in the Malaya hills, that because he appears in his family, he's known as Yadava, and it glorifies the whole dynasty, although he is God of everyone and not particularly associated with any particular dynasty, and yet at the same time, he associates himself with the dynasty of his devotee, and thus glorifies his devotee. And now she's saying there's other opinions too. She's continuing on with further. And one thing she mentions is that he appeared for Vasudeva and Devaki, his parents, that they prayed for him, and that he appeared for them and to protect them. And also, although he's unborn, he takes his birth for not just for Vasudeva and Devaki's welfare, but to kill those who are envious of the demigods, the demons like Kamsa. So this is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita when Krishna himself explains, Paritranaya sadhunam vinashaya chituskritam dharma sangstapanartaya sambhavami yuge yuge. Age after age, I'm appearing myself to protect the sadhus and to destroy the miscreants, right? Those who are bad actors, duskritam, those who are miscreants. And dharma sangsthapanartaya, although it's not mentioned here by Queen Kunti in this verse, but he also reestablishes the principles of religion, which over time, it's like what are the laws of thermodynamics? There's one that things tend toward entropy over time. Any system, the energy will dissipate and it will become a more chaotic system. And the principles of religion are established from time to time, but over time, people become more impious. And then when the world becomes too overwhelmed by demons, the Lord incarnates himself to wind up the clock again. He resets everything and establishes the principles of religion again. And in this case, he killed so many demons. Beginning in Vrindavan, all of Kamsa's friends were coming, Putana and Bakasura and so many, Aristasura, and they were coming to try to see where Krishna was, and he was killing them one by one and just went on killing demons. And then he went to Mathura and killed Kamsa, and then he defeated all the armies of Jarasandha over and over again. Jarasandha was raising these huge armies of demons and Krishna was wiping them out. And he killed Shishupal and Dantavakra and so many different envious demoniac kings. Who? Pondraka. Pondraka pretended to be like Narayan. he actually had some phony arms, so that he put an extra two arms and told people that he was Narayan. And Krishna cut off his head and threw it over the wall of his fort. All his people saw that. He challenged him. Krishna at first didn't want to fight him, but then when he insisted, Krishna, okay. So he was killing all these demons. And in the Battle of Kurukshetra also, there was a great war, and millions of warriors were killed. So the earth must have been very highly populated in those days, for all of those different armies to be killed by Krishna, armies and armies of demons. And the earth was very populated by demons. Therefore, the earth herself went and prayed, and the earth with all the demigods went to pray to Lord Brahma and say, you know, please ask what will help us. Then the Lord told Brahma that I'm already coming. So here, saying that another reason he came, the opinion of some is, he came to answer the prayers of his devotees, Vasudeva and Devaki. And Srila Prabhupada refers in the purport to their previous verses, Sutapa and Prishni. When Krishna appeared, he appeared in the prison of Kamsa with four hands and helmet and jewels and ornaments and earrings, armor. He appeared as established as the personality of Godhead. But Devaki and Vasudeva, they prayed to him. Particularly Devaki was moved by maternal affection, and she was afraid that Kamsa would find him and kill him, as he had killed her other sons. Of course, she knew he was the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but because of Yogamaya, because of her love, she was praying to Krishna to make himself invisible. At least invisible to material eyes, as he usually is. We were reading this morning how he's always visible to in the minds of recollecting souls who meditate on him properly. But normally, he's not visible to anyone else. But when he appeared there as the son of Devaki, he was visible to everyone. But she was afraid that Kamsa would come. She also wanted to see him as a child. So she was praying for him to please become like a little baby and then I can hide you. She had this maternal affection. So Krishna told her that actually he was the Supreme Personality of Godhead and that he had come as her son before. That not just in this lifetime, but in other lifetimes. This is the third time. First, she said, you and Vasudev were previously Sutapa and Prishni. And you underwent severe penances, and I became your son, Prishni Garbha. That was during the Manvantar of Swayambhuva Manu. Now it's Vaivasvata Manu, the son of the sun god, Vivaswan. But in previous long past history, it was Swayambhuva Manu was, I think, the first Manu. During that time, during Treta Yuga, he appeared as Prishni Garbha. And Prishni Garbha did a lot of different things, but that was also the incarnation that appeared before Dhruva Maharaj in the story in the fourth canto of Dhruva Maharaj. That was Prishni Garbha. Sutapa and Prishni performed severe penances. They meditated, they did pranayama. They sat very straight and they controlled their life airs and did meditation. And in this way, they were able to withstand the scorching sun, the heat, and also the power of the sun on their bodies, and the wind and the rain, and cold weather, and all kinds of weather. And they ate only for 12,000 celestial years. They're not just 12,000 of our years, but a celestial year is like 365 times as long as one of our years. 6 months is one of their days, and another 6 months is one of their nights. And so for 12,000, Haribol, for 12,000 of such years, they performed these penances, and all they ate, aside from the prana that they were, because yogis can learn how to sustain themselves with the airs of life, but the only thing they ate was leaves that fell from trees. Not even picking leaves from the trees, but only the dried leaves that had fallen from the trees. That was their only foodstuff, and the air. And they were meditating on Krishna in their hearts, desiring to have him as their son. So finally he appeared as Prishni Garbha. And then in another time, he appeared as Lord Vamanadeva. In another age, they were Kashyapa and Aditi, the mother of the demigods, Aditi. So Vamanadeva appeared, the brother of Indra appeared. And Krishna revealed to Devaki that was also you. You are that Aditi. And Vasudeva was Prajapati, Kashyapa. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comments that that based on how Krishna explains that in the 10th canto, you can tell that Vasudeva and Devaki are the original. That Aditi and Kashyapa and Prishni and Sutapa are actually, even though they appeared earlier, they're actually just expansions of Vasudeva and Devaki. And that Krishna, and this is based on the language, the Sanskrit, an analysis of the Sanskrit that Krishna uses when he tells this to Devaki. And that Krishna is the original, that Prishnagarbha and Vamana are expansions of Krishna and not the other way around. So he appears in answer to prayers of his devotees. Actually, he appears in so many different forms, and it's described that Krishna appears in all these different forms and different moods in order to satisfy the desires of different devotees who want to serve him in these different moods. And you can talk about many different reasons for the Lord's birth. Of course, Devaki and Vasudeva were very put upon by Kamsa, and the Lord appeared to protect his beloved devotees, his mother and father, who have been his mother and father on these other occasions, and and should be understood to be eternally his mother and father, as well as Nanda and Yashoda Maharaj are also his mother and father. Nanda and Yashoda Maharaj are considered by the devotees to be more exalted. Their love for Krishna is less mixed with Aishwarya and Jnana, and therefore they don't think of him as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and therefore their maternal and paternal instincts can be more intimate and less. Devaki knew, even though Devaki desired that Krishna appear like a child and be her child, and even though she knew he was God, she still had some fear. Because of her love, she still had some fear from Kamsa. But at the same time, she knew that he was God, and he appeared before her in four-handed form. Then Krishna did appear like a baby, and he made the gates open up. The Vasudeva was shackled by his ankle, and there was a strong prison with iron gates and chains and bolts holding it all shut. And he made all of the guards and everyone in the palace, but Vasudeva went into a very deep sleep. Also, Devaki went to sleep. So when she woke up and she saw her little daughter, Yogamaya, she didn't remember that she had had a son. It was a daughter. At first, she was confused because after the labor of giving birth, it's described that even though Krishna just appeared like a four-armed form, but after the experience of labor, she fell asleep to repair herself, and when she awoke, she saw her daughter, and she wasn't at first recalling that it was Krishna. I was reading that, but Vasudeva then he took Krishna, because it was the thundering and there was light rain coming down at the time. There was lightning in the sky, and everybody else was asleep. And Anantasesh came and made himself into an umbrella to protect Vasudeva and baby Krishna from the rain as he took Krishna across the Jamuna. And just like Lord Ramachandra had built a bridge across to Lanka, so the Yamuna made it easy for Vasudeva to cross and to get to Vrindavan to give the to Braj to give the baby Krishna to Mother Yashoda. But the devotees like Vasudeva and Devaki and the Yadu dynasty, when Krishna moved his fortress to Dwarka, it's described in the Srimad Bhagavatam that all of the residents of Dwarka were feeling how special it was. They loved Krishna very much, but they were feeling all the time, seeing him, that the personality of Godhead himself has appeared in our family and is spending his time all the time with us. And they were feeling that way. But Nanda and Mother Yashoda don't feel that way, that he's the personality of Godhead. They're thinking, he's this remarkable boy. Somehow, Narayan must be protecting him. Or they pray for protection and do things so that he'll be protected. And their maternal affection is not as mixed with knowledge and opulence. Right? Jnana, Aishwarya. Yes, Ruby.
My question is, Devaki and Vasudeva, they had done so much penance to have Vishnu as their son, but they didn't really seem to enjoy him in this at Vrindavan, Mathura. It was Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda who really enjoyed him, and of course the people of Vrindavan as well. Can you kind of elaborate on that? Why is it that they were more fortunate than after all the penances of Devaki and Vasudeva?
Yeah, we were talking about this two or three weeks ago, and I had been reading in, there's a book called Shararta Darshini, which is the commentary by Vishwanath Chakravarti, and it's also there in the 10th canto as commented upon by Hridayananda Maharaj and Gopi Puranadana translating. They rely a lot on Vishwanath's commentary on the 10th canto, but it's recently just the Vishwanath commentary. Recently, I think like 2 years ago or something like that, Mahanidhi Swami and Banu Swami. I don't know if you know Banu Swami. He's the head of the BBT but the translation department or something. He's Japanese born, and he's lived in India for many, many years, and is very fluent in Sanskrit and some other Indian languages. I think he lives in Mayapur most of the time. Madras, he lives in Madras, okay. Whenever I see him, I'm in Mayapur is when I've seen him. And so he translated the Vishwanath Chakravarti's commentary. And there's a section in there where Parikshit Maharaj in the 10th canto asks a very similar question to the question that Ruby is asking, that after describing wonderful pastimes, childhood pastimes in Gokul, Parikshit Maharaj says, but Vasudeva and Devaki, they performed so many austerities and to get Krishna as their son, but they didn't get to enjoy the real childhood of Krishna because he was in Vrindavan, he was in Gokula, he was away from them, and they didn't really get to enjoy him like a son. So what must Nanda Maharaj and Mother Yashoda have done in order to get Krishna to enjoy like that? And Vishwanath comments that Shukadeva Goswami was not very pleased with that question. Although it doesn't say it in the text of the Srimad Bhagavatam, it's described in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Shukadeva Goswami says, well, there was this best of the Vasus who was named Drona, and his wife was named Darya, or Dara, and they prayed to Lord Brahma to have to appear. You know, when the earth came and the demigods came to Brahma, and they said that the earth is suffering, and Brahma said that Krishna has said he's already coming, and Krishna instructed, now you all go take birth and help me, assist me in my pastimes. So all the demigods were supposed to go take birth. So Drona and Dara prayed very feelingly to Lord Brahma, and he said, you should go and become Mother Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj and become the parents of Krishna. So later, I think it was in the Damodara Leela, I think so, that in the when the pastime of Damodara was being described, then Vishwanath Chakravarti explains that actually Drona and Dara, it wasn't because of their prayers, it wasn't because of austerities, that the reason Shukadeva Goswami didn't like the question is that how could you think that you could do anything that would deserve to become like Mother Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj? That actually Mother Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj are Nitya Siddha devotees. Of course, Vasudeva and Devaki also are. We'll get to that. But Mother Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj, their special love for Krishna in this paternal way, to be able to enjoy the special sweetness of this love of Krishna that's not even tinged with the knowledge of his godhood, is eternal and cannot be the result of performing austerities, but one to achieve that kind of love, one has to follow in the footsteps of the Brijbasis. And that, but they've always had this kind of love, and they're eternal like that. So Vishwanath comments that Drona and Dara were just expansions. This becomes a little confusing, even to me. That Drona and Dara were expansions. These demigods were expansions of Nanda and Yashoda, and then they, at the time of coming to Earth, they entered into the eternal Nanda and Yashoda to enjoy these pastimes. And in a similar way, Vishwanath was explaining that Prishni and Sutapa and Kashyapa and Aditi in these two other births were really expansions of Vasudeva and Devaki, who are the more full, more complete, completely associated with Krishna's pastimes. And we were discussing this 2 weeks ago, that when Venkatabhata, when Lord Chaitanya was staying for Chaturmasya with Venkatabhata at Rangakshetra, he joked with Venkatabhata, because Venkatabhata was Sri Vaishnava and the worshipper of Goddess Lakshmi. So he joked with her, "How come you're Lakshmi?" And he quoted verses from Bhagavatam where Lakshmi performed austerities to enter into Krishna's Leela. And why was she performing austerities and desiring to enter into Krishna's Leela? And Venkata said, "There's no harm in that, because Krishna really is the same as Narayan, it doesn't impugn her chastity that she wanted to sport with Krishna. Krishna is the same as Narayan, but because of his special sporting pastimes, he appears different. But Lakshmi, in a spirit of great fun, wanted to enter into those pastimes, but it does not reflect that she was being unchaste to Narayan." But then Lord Chaitanya said, "But there's this other verse that says that Lakshmi, even though she performed many austerities, and in the pastime of Damodar Leela also, there's a verse that says that Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva and Lakshmi Devi couldn't experience these pastimes like this, couldn't enter into these pastimes." So Lord Chaitanya was saying, how come that even after, and a verse that said that she performed many, many austerities and still was not able to enter into the Rasa Leela. And so Venkatapata then said, "You explain it, my Lord. I'm just a limited human being, and you're the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You explain it." And Lord Chaitanya said that to experience that love in the Rasa Leela, you have to follow in the footsteps of the gopis. And he described how the Vedas, the personified Vedas, I think it was the personified Vedas, had actually desired to enter into those pastimes. And they performed sadhana in the mood of the gopis. And they actually had to take birth as gopis so that they could experience that kind of pastime. But then Lord Chaitanya says that it's offensive to... Then afterwards, he pacifies Venkatabhata. And he says, "But don't worry, that Narayan really... You're correct, that Narayan really is the same as Krishna, and that it's offensive to think that they're different persons, that it's really the same person who's displaying different moods." But then this we're describing, that these acharyas are explaining for us that the mood of Vasudeva and Devaki is more mixed with opulence and knowledge, whereas the mood of the cowherds in Vrindavan is just very simple and spontaneous. And we appear in this movement, Hare Krishna movement. Srila Prabhupada is coming from Vrindavan. We're coming from Lord Chaitanya's line. And so we're worshipping Krishna in the mood of Vrindavan. But in our early stage, when we have to practice regulations and we don't have the spontaneous attraction, then we practice the regulations with awe and reverence. We were saying 2 weeks ago, we can't think like Mother Yashoda. She had Krishna sitting on her lap, sucking her breast, and she thought, "Oh, I have to attend to the stove. I have other work to do." And she put Krishna down, and he became angry with her. So that she couldn't do that if she was thinking of Krishna as God. How could you think anything, just some milk on the stove would be more important? But the devotional service is more important even than Krishna's more pleased with that mood. So we're in that line, and our practice of pleasing Srila Prabhupada, to please Srila Prabhupada, we do have to regulate our senses. We don't have to perform the kind of austerities that Vasudeva and David Prishni and Sutapa performed. Prabhupada didn't ask us to do so much fasting, eat only leaves for 12,000 years, even earth years. We don't do that. But we have to regulate our senses. We have to follow the regular principles. We have to rise early. I'm sorry I was late today. We have to rise early and go to Mangal Artik and wear our tilak and do the puja in the mood, in the proper mood, following the rules. Of course, even the rules Prabhupada gave us, he said, are very lenient. That if we knew all of the rules, we would faint, he said. But Prabhupada is giving us this Braja Bhakti. He's giving us in his books, he's giving us these descriptions, the Krishna book. He's giving us the condensed, sweetness of that's being explained by Shukadeva Goswami and all the acharyas, and being revealed by Lord Chaitanya how important this is. So we're serving in this ISKCON. We're servants of this great Bridge Basi, Srila Prabhupada, who's come. Hare Krishna, welcome. So we don't have to, anyway, we don't have to worry we should hear all of the words of Prabhupada and all of the books, and we should understand, we should have knowledge. We need, in our stage, we need spiritual knowledge to help us become detached from material enjoyment and help us follow the rules and control our senses and so forth. So we should learn about Sankhya analysis of the elements of the world. We should learn about the Srishti Leela of how Krishna expands and creates the world and how he's related to this universe. We were talking about the minds of recollecting sages and how the majesty of Krishna triumphantly dominates the majesty in the material world. And in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna gives examples of how, in the 10th chapter, of how all the majestic and powerful manifestations of the in the material universe are representatives of him, and that just by a spark of his splendor he maintains the whole material universe. So all these manifestations are just nothing for him, and yet they're the things that are most majestic to us, because we're still concerned with our material senses and have this sense of that which we perceive as being so important, that we perceive with our material senses. So he's explaining to us how, if we can't enter into his pastimes, because we can't meditate on him and his pastimes, but he gives Arjuna ways that we can meditate on him as the most majestic things of this world, as his representatives. So this is our position. But I don't know, did I answer your question? I'm going off on many tangents this morning, I'm sorry.
I heard once Kandavika Mataji said...
Use microphone.
In the Bhakta Bhiksha program, at Kandavika Mataji's place, she said, I don't know...
We still can't hear, though. You're not using it.
Yeah, because they're here in the kitchen with these microphones too.
So I don't know where she quoted it from or she was referencing to anything, but she mentioned that although Krishna immediately left after taking birth from Vasudeva and Devaki and went to Vrindavan, in the later years when he left Vrindavan and he was the king in Dwarka, Devaki and Vasudeva enjoyed his company as his mother and father for huge number of years while Lord Krishna was present on the planet. It's not that they didn't enjoy anything at all. So they did actually get this personal association later in the... So it's just different types of devotional...
And I was going to say that we shouldn't worry, like, how will I, what will I be, or how should I cultivate Hare Krishna, Nityananda? How shall I cultivate a particular mood of devotional service? Prabhupada impressed upon us that we have an eternal mood. Each of us really has an eternal mood, and every person, every devotee, every jiva has a way they like to serve Krishna, particularly themselves. And that if we just please Srila Prabhupada and concern ourselves with becoming perfect in our behavior as a Sankirtan devotee, as a devotee of in Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan movement of Srila Prabhupada, then we don't have to artificially try to meditate in some way, but the way we like to meditate will automatically come out. Devaki, it's offensive for us, the materialistic people, to think, oh, Devaki and Vasudev, they're less important than Nanda and Yashoda, because we're dealing with Krishna's own mother and father in both cases. But we can repeat things that we've heard from, or we can repeat these comparisons that we've heard from Rupa Goswami and others. But yes, Vasudev and Devaki, they enjoyed Krishna's association for a long time in Mathura and Dwarka. But they did miss that when he was a small child, and the way that special mood of Vatsalya Rasa that was there in demonstrated by Nanda and Yashoda is not there anywhere else. It's not available anywhere else. One time I asked Bhakti Churu Swami, because I had heard some of the Ramayana of Tulsidas, you know, the Hindi Ramayana of Tulsidas, which is very popular. And he talks about these childhood pastimes of Lord Rama when he was a little baby, trying to carry the shoes and everything. And so Bhakti Churu Swami was telling me that the pastimes of Krishna as a baby, the specially sweet pastimes with that mood, are only available in Krishna. So I said, but in Tulsidas Ramayana, there's this mood of Lord Rama. And he said, actually, Tulsidas, that's not to be found anywhere in the Valmiki Ramayana. But Tulsidas came after Lord Chaitanya had been influenced by the Srimad Bhagavatam and the pastimes of Krishna. And this is what Bhakti Churu Swami told me, that it was really, he was applying Krishna feelings in description of Rama's pastimes. And, not necessarily that that's improper, because Krishna really is Rama, and Narayan and Krishna in Dwarka really is Krishna from Vrindavan. But we know that Krishna never goes one step outside of Vrindavan. And that when, Yashoda had to suffer many years in Krishna's apparent absence, that suffering was another very intense form of being close to Krishna. That Lord Chaitanya revealed that Madhavendra Puri's mood of separation from Krishna and the gopis' mood of separation, the lamentation of the gopis when Krishna was gone, Radharani's maddened words to the bumblebee. This mood of separation that Nanda and Yashoda had to experience in Vrindavan, because they wouldn't leave Vrindavan. There's a very good book, it's a little over my head, but I've been reading it anyway, by Shivaram Swami. It's called Krishna Sangati. And when Keshava Bharati was here, he suggested that I read this book. And he had edited the book, done the English editing with Shivaram Swami's book. And so a lot of these concepts are discussed, that how is it that the gopis, Why do they stay in Vrindavan? Why don't they just go follow Akrura and the carts? Of course, a lot of Vrijbasis did go follow. And Nanda Maharaj went to Mathura and he promised everyone, I'll bring Krishna back very soon. But actually, Vrindavan itself is very special. They can't leave Vrindavan. And then why is it that Krishna separated from him? All these questions are there. And Krishna, one answer Krishna gives is that I don't want the demons to know how important you are to me. You Brijbasis are to me. If the demons know that I'm always thinking about you and I'm always only thinking about how I can go back to you, then they'll come there, especially to vex me. They'll attack Vrindavan and the Brijbasis. So I have to. But we really know that Krishna stays there, in and he would come visit them every night. And they would think that they were dreaming. But in their great separation from Krishna, Krishna was even more present than when they met him face to face. Anyway, we keep getting into these esoteric topics, which I'm not particularly qualified to talk about. But Vasudeva and Devaki are very great, great devotees of Krishna, and they did experience. Krishna was still, when he came and killed Kamsa, he was still only 16 or so, right? I don't know exactly how many years it was, but he was and he was still young enough that they could send him to Santipani Muni to get an education. And Krishna and Balaram were so brilliant that they didn't have to spend a long time with their guru. They just absorbed everything like a sponge. He would teach them whole. It was like I hate to give these mundane examples from modern cinema, but there's this movie, The Matrix, and many of you have probably seen it anyway. And this guy is learning programs. They just upload these computer programs and do, you know, now I've learned kung fu and karate and jiu-jitsu. And but Krishna and Balaram would go and sit with Sandipani Muni, and he would go and disclose a whole section of the Vedas to them, and they would memorize it and know it completely immediately. Of course, they're this, you know, by the Vedas, Krishna is to be known, and he's the Vedanta Krit, he's the author of the Vedanta. But this is such are his pastimes that he learned very quickly. And yes, the Yadus got to enjoy Krishna's association in Mathura and in Dwarka. And he had so many children and grandchildren, and they were his relatives. And Vasudeva and Devaki are very, very special devotees. And Queen Kunti is glorifying them, saying that, you know, one opinion of why Krishna took his birth is just to please his devotees, Vasudeva and Devaki. In fact, Prabhupada often mentions this point, that for killing the demons, Krishna doesn't have to appear, really. He could kill the demons by sending agents. You know, he could send Lord Shiva to go kill them, or send big hurricanes and earthquakes and things could kill the demons. Whatever, any agent he could send to kill the demons. But when he appears, he shows how he protects his devotee and how he cares for his devotee. And displays those pastimes for the devotees to talk about how Prahlad Maharaj can watch Lord Nrisimhadev come and protect him and kill Hiranyakashipu in front of him for his protection. So we're, you know, discussing, you know, Krishna, why does he appear? Actually, it's getting quite late. So unless there's any more questions, we should stop here and have Guru Puja. Gantara Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Yeah.